Welcome here we are. Ray and Tay. Today,
here we are.
Yeah, it's Friday.
Yeah. Right here is for the people.
Hey, hey, it's Ray and Tay today, and it is Friday. It's a somber Friday. I don't know if you guys are paying attention in the news to what happened in Connecticut. So our hearts go out to everybody there in Newtown and all of our listeners and their friends and family up in Connecticut. We're going to go ahead with our show because, you know, sports heals, so we're going to try and take your mind off it, spend an hour with us. And enjoy the show, and I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
And I am Tay, Eric Taylor, definitely like Ray said, man, Ray and Tay, today we send our love and our prayers and just, you know, God bless everybody. And as a dad, my heart is definitely heavy, but like Ray said, the show must go on, and just hope we can be a positive distraction. So listen, wow, so much going on in the sports world. And so thank you for joining us. If you want to hit us up, 718-664-9098, Ray and Tay Today at gmail.com. That's R-A-E-A-N-D-T-A-Y Today. Same with the Twitter and the Facebook. Keep checking us out. Hit us up on the iTunes with the podcast. You put in the search, put us in. And we got to send a congrats to our boy Stace Manley, coast to coast in our fantasy football league. But our friend first had his
Raven
little
football,
son.
Man.
They had this little Baltimore Raven, 8 pounds, 12 ounces, 541 yesterday. ATN Marcel Lothar Manley, welcome to the world on 12-13-12. That's a good look. Good look, man. Congrats to Anna and Stacey Manley. So, yeah, man, why don't you let them know what we're going to talk about because, we got a football Friday, ladies and gentlemen.
Let them know. So like we do, we're going to start the show off with breaking news. Then we're going to get into this quick review of Thursday's game, Cincinnati-Philly game. And then we'll take a quick trip around the NBA, go over some breaking news in the NBA, some happenings. Then we're going to get into this fantastic Week 15 in the NFL. We're going to preview six games where 12 teams are in the playoff hunt. They're all above 500, and if the playoffs were to start right now, 10 of the 12 teams are in, and the other two, Pittsburgh and Dallas, are on the verge. So unbelievable Week 15. We're going to preview those six key games, and then at the end we have a combo segment. So usually on Fridays we do Top 5 Fridays, and we're going to combine that with Hall of Fame Friday. So Ray and Tay are going to give you some people to marinate on, to think about whether they are Hall of Fame worthy. We're going to go through the NFL and talk about Hall of Fame Friday, and we're going to give you some of our thoughts, and you can call us, email us, contact us after the show, and let us know what you think. So let's kick it off with a break news.
Well, you know what? Also, I got to just announce, right, we have our, you know, College Bowl Mania. Go to ESPN and you know, look at the College Bowl Mania and you put in join a group with Ray and Tate today. And we got to talk about these two bowls a little bit, really. We got, Nevada against Arizona. And then Utah State, my school.
USU.
Yeah. Who's Utah State? They got two games tomorrow, but you got to make your picks because the Bowl Mania starts tomorrow. So I'll tell people to make their picks, and you know I got my whole family making picks. So everybody's got to jump on in and have some fun with Ray and Tay. And first place, hopefully, you know we'll get you a little prize, a little gift card or something. And well, for me, let's talk about some of these injuries. Who's rocking? Who's rolling? Bradshaw's out for the Giants. That's kind of big. So David Wilson will stop the flips and hopefully just score touchdowns for them. But the Giants are going to miss Bradshaw.
What's such a big deal about the flips, though?
No. They just don't want him to get hurt. They just don't want him to get
hurt.
It's not
like
a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Listen, you could always land and mess
That's
up
true.
Your knee, anything. So you got to be careful when there's no running back behind you.
That's true. Look at Kendry Morales jumping up to hit a home run after he hit a home run, and his career basically has never been the same.
Yeah. Now, Clay Matthews for the Packers will be coming back. Charles Woodson and Jordy Nelson are not playing. It looks like your boy Dez Bryant is going to go for it, you know, against my Steelers. This is a big, out of the six games, this is the biggest game to us, right? Cowboys, Steelers, that's our two teams. So we'll really have fun talking about that. Also, Mendenhall is not playing. You know, he's on that list. I guess he's suspended for the game.
Right, they're saying Winfield is questionable now for the Vikings.
Right. There was somebody else big. I can't remember. But
Gronkowski,
you know,
practices.
Yes, Rod, the Gronk. I have him on my fantasy league, but I'm not going to start him because, you know, I don't even know if he's going to play and how well he would do.
This week, next week.
Maybe. And Ray-Ray is probably a game-time decision. Ray Lewis for the Ravens. So we have some baseball signings, right? We already talked about Euclid, but the Yankees re-signed Ichiro. You know, so I was happy about that. And then Josh Hamilton with the Angels. That's ridiculous. 5 for $125. And Sanchez re-signs with the Tigers for $80 million. So what do you think about all this baseball
action?
Ichiro
and the Yankees is a good fit. He seems like a good fit in New York, and he was one of the only players that was clutch. So even though he's old and the Yankees need to go young, for now, he's a great fit. Anibal Sanchez, he was supposed to be signing 5 years, $75 million, to leave.
With the Cubs, right?
And then, right, with the Cubs, and they ended up going 5 years, $80 million to stay. So good for him. Got that money. He had a good second half ever since that trade when he came up with Omar Infante from the Marlins. And then Josh Hamilton. So very interesting. I don't think anybody else was giving him 5 years. I don't know if anybody else was even giving him $25 million a year. So he gets 5 years, $25 million in Anaheim. And Artie Moreno now is in this bidding war against the Dodgers for supremacy in L.A. But think about it. Mike Trout on any other year would have won MVP. So that means that he – let's call him an MVP. His season was so phenomenal that we'll call him an MVP, even though not taking anything away from Miguel Cabrera. So they have three MVPs on their team. You know what I mean? They have Josh Hamilton, Trout, and your boy, of course, Pujols with his three MVPs. You know, that is a killer lineup. Five guys that hit 30 home runs. That's a killer lineup. If they can get one more pitcher and lock down that
pitcher spot. That's the question, though, right? It's still – look at what happened, right? The Angels and Dodgers with their moves last year, both still didn't make the playoffs. So it's going to be about that pitching for the Angels.
Right. Oh, and Ryan Dempster – speaking of pitchers, Ryan Dempster signs with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
So he goes there for 2 years.
And also, on a sad note, we didn't get to talk about this off air, but it looks like – four of the original members, but the seven main Catholic schools of the Big East are going to do I don't know what, but not be in the Big East anymore, it's looking like. They're going to have this vote on Sunday or Monday.
Horrible.
And I'm just devastated. I don't even really know what to say. I don't know if they're going to start a new conference with the Atlantic 10, but then why wouldn't you just stay in the Big East? Like, what's the big deal of leaving it? It doesn't make any sense. So, but when it all plays out, I guess we'll really talk about it, you know. It's just upsetting. I'm like, come on, I'm already emotional enough today. I need to hear that foolishness.
It just tells you that unfortunately for these small, you know, predominantly Catholic, you know, Jesuit schools, not having a football program is a big deal. So Georgetown, St. John's, you know,
Villanova, Seton Hall,
all these guys, it's all about football. And it's because I love football, right? So don't get
Georgetown.
Me wrong. But this is ruining the college experience, especially when it comes to rivalries and conferences. And how are you going to make a conference and then 30 years later blow it up? It just kills me.
Yeah. So, well, listen, we had a great night last night. TNT had a really good doubleheader, and, boy, did the Knicks – I mean, they came out of a cannon and just put it on the Lakers. Melo and Kobe looked like they were going to do for a while. But what I keep saying to you and what I'm loving about this team is that the way that they shoot the threes, and even Barkley was just eating crow watching the broadcast because it's like they can't keep doing this. Scott Van Pelt, they can't keep doing it. Well, yeah, no, they can't shoot 41%. Well, they shot 48% from three-point land. They are just getting quality shots, and what happens is whether it's Felton or sometimes Kidd, Melo's isolation, they get penetration, and they can draw fouls, but also they can do the pick and roll and alley-oop to Chandler, but they can penetrate and pop. And then these wide-open threes, if you're an NBA shooter, and they've got some good ones, they hit them.
Which is funny because if you look up and down their lineup, Jason Kidd really taught himself how to shoot this three and is really unbelievable. But if you look up and down their lineup, Raymond Felton's not a great shooter. Jason Kidd historically hasn't been a great shooter, although the last 3 years his three-point percentage has been phenomenal. Novak is really only the pure shooter.
He's the best shooter in the NBA. He's the best shooter in the NBA right now.
And so the rest of the guys are really Brewer, Smith. They're up and down, but everybody's been up. So again,
but even Melo. Melo is banging them.
Melo, wow. Melo, you know what it was? It was that game where he hit 10 threes in the Olympics. That was like his coming out party as a three-point shooter, even
he's
though
like, my man, my Melo did on the mic.
Mello. So yeah, that's Melo. He turned his ankle. But hopefully it's no big deal. He'll be back soon. But, yeah, that was unbelievable. Again, Kobe Bryant does his 31 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, but just too much, just too much. The Knicks jump on him, 41 points in the first quarter. And by the time it was halftime, the Knicks were up 19. So it's just too much to handle. The Knicks, I think, were up 21 at the half. It was just too much. 68 points. At the half for the
Listen, I still see it, in the interview with Dwight Howard. Asked him about your role in the offense. I don't know what it is. I got to tell you, he is the worst. He's a punk. I mean, don't say you don't know your role. Just say you wish you were getting more shots or whatever. Coaches talk. Everybody knows the system. You know your role. The thing is that you want the ball more and you want more touches. But don't act like you don't know, like, why I'm here in the organization. That punk baby stuff, that's why Stan Van Gundy got sick of him. Because even
so
down there,
agenda?
he was the main man at offense down there, and he always wanted more shots. Please, I don't even want to talk about Dwight Howard and the Lakers, man.
All right. Well, you know who we do need to talk about is Damian.
My man. My rookie of the year.
I got to give you credit for that. That's your boy. Now, look, I liked him. When I saw him senior year and I saw him in the tournament and in the combines, he looked really nice. He looked, they said he was a shooting point guard, but he's getting his assists too. But I got to take my hat off. You called him as your rookie of the year. I went with the safe pick of Anthony Davis, who, still might be the rookie of the year. But
if you cast the vote,
it's Lillard. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. He had 29 last night. The Trailblazers beat the Spurs. Spurs were 18-5 coming in. They beat them 98-90. And Lillard, what can I say? The guy had 29.7 rebounds, 6 assists for a rookie point guard. What a
against
season.
Against Tony Parker.
Together.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. And he just really – he controlled the game, man. When they needed a basket, he got it. Him and Nicholas Batum was just great with a sore back. He was a hero to most. LaMarcus
and I'm
Aldridge.
Glad that hasn't created ill will, right? Because Batum wanted to get out of there. He wanted to go to Minnesota, but they kept him.
I think he did, but he really just wanted to get paid and respected and to not share minutes anymore. And so now he gets to start at the three, Matthews at the two, and that's what he wanted. He wanted to be like, yo, I'm a frontline player. I want to start, and I want starters' minutes. So
yeah, he played 38 minutes last night. Lillard played 40,
happy.
And he played 38, one more than LaMarcus Aldridge.
Well, it's good, right? The Portland fans are historically great fans, so it's good to see this team. What are they, like 10-12 now? They're getting turning it around, and they're playing good ball. So it's good. And, you know, the third game, that sometimes there's a third game on these Thursday nights that never gets spoken about or noticed, and Atlanta won. But let's give the Hawks some props, right? People thought they blew up the team getting rid of Marvin Williams and Joe Johnson. But they still got Horford and Josh
Jeff
Smith.
Mike Teague.
Doing his thing. Teague. They brought in Harris, Morrow,
Kyle
Korver. And you know what? It seems to be working. The Atlanta Hawks.
They found
are
Ivan
ball.
Johnson. Remember his coming out
yeah.
party?
He's,
they were like, who's
he's
Ivan
nice,
Johnson?
Man.
I don't know, but he could play.
Oh, yeah. No, he, you know, and he had a big year last year for
and
him.
Lou Williams off the bench was a big pickup for them, right? He's doing
they have
thing
a lot
like
of twos and
Philly
threes.
Last year.
Right. They have a lot of twos and threes. But, you know, whatever it is, I mean, look, you know, I mean, the Knicks are the stars at 17 and 5, right? But the Hawks are you know, right on the Heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, right on the Heat's neck at 14-6, tied for first. I mean, that's incredible. So that's a
and
good
you know,
story.
On the other side of that game was the Bobcats, and I told you the Bobcats have nothing. And they did a little smoke and mirrors in the beginning of the season, and they won their 7 games, but now they're 7-15. They're terrible.
Yeah, but they've had some injuries. But listen, it's still better than last year. It takes time. It takes time.
But
play
I
boy.
Look at their roster, and they just don't have enough NBA talent.
No,
they
I know, but their guys have been injured too.
More talent.
No, they definitely do. But I'm just saying that I think they're heading in the right direction. I like Dunlap, and I like Kemba. I like Kid Gilchrist.
Small. They have
I like Mullen. You know.
Sessions, Ben Gordon, Kemba Walker.
No,
Gerald,
it's not
Gerald
perfect.
Hansen, they're all small, and I guess Jeffrey Taylor, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist give them some size, but they start them both together. I don't know. Mullins and Biyombo up front, they need talent. I'm just saying, Michael, what are you doing?
Oh, Ray, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all
Michael,
right.
Michael, what are you doing? I want Michael Jordan to succeed.
Yeah,
but I need him to get another GM.
Maybe you need him to suit up at 50, right? Can he suit up at 50 and score some points?
Oh, my God.
Mike could still come in and probably score 15 a game in the league right now.
He could score 15.
That's Mike. But let's talk about last night, man. Let's move to the NFL. And 34-13, I don't think that score really breaks it down, the Bengals and the Eagles. It was kind of an ugly game. I guess, the third quarter, the Bengals just ripped it open. But the Eagles,
right.
Man,
they
tried,
had.
You know. They really tried for a little bit. They played some good football. I guess, you know, forget about whatever. I mean, now, you know, the Bengals are half a game up on Pittsburgh, and they play them next week, so that's really going to solve it anyway. But the question is, obviously, Ben Jarvis had a big game and got over 100 yards and got a touchdown and was really huge for them. And, you
and
know,
huge for you on your fantasy.
Well, I listened in the semifinals because if you and I, if we both win, we play each other. I'm playing the number one seed, Tito Express. But I jumped out with 21 points, 6 points for Ben Jarvis. That's huge.
Yeah,
well,
I had Gresham and
playoff.
Green. I had Gresham and Green who combined for exactly 30 points. So they projected to be a little bit higher. I think they projected to be 41 or so. But
well, Green, this is the question I was going to ask you. Green didn't get enough touches. Not like everybody should do what Cutler and Marshall do, which is maybe overthrow and force feed. But do you think that they got to find ways to get A.J. Green the ball a little bit more?
Well, they targeted
him
10 times, right? So they targeted him 10 times. He got 6 catches, and Gresham was targeted 9 and also had 6 catches. So they're trying. Now, you know, Mohamed Sanu going down and Hawkins going down in the middle of the season, but now being back – I think defenses are keying on Green, and that opened it up a little bit for Gresham and a little bit for Green Ellis. But, yeah, I mean, you got to find creative ways to get him the ball. And you know what? If you don't get him the ball, then your number two receiver has to step up and take the opportunity to have single coverage and take advantage of the secondary. Now, Philly, oh, man, Philly, if you're a Philly fan, you're thinking to yourself, this is the epitome of our 2012 season, right? Four lost fumbles, an interception. We should have had this game.
It was sloppy.
We should have had the game.
The Eagles, it's hard, and, you know, you feel bad for Andy Reid and just his family. It's a great guy, but it's time. It's time. They broke the streak and they won last week, but they go back to losing again and will probably lose out against, you know, I forgot who they're playing. I know they play the Redskins. And
yeah, they have two NFC East games. They play the Redskins and they play the Giants. So they go the Redskins this Saturday or next Sunday, sorry, and the Giants on the last game of the season.
Yeah, so, I mean, to me, you know, I think it's going to be interesting how they rebuild, what they hire. Will it be Vic? Will it be Foles? Hey, we don't know who Foles is yet. We saw a little bit, but, you know, you can't say I can just build my franchise around them yet because you're not really sure. I think that they need to clean up a lot. They really do need to clean up a lot with this team and just, you know, start from scratch. But there's definitely some talented guys there. You know, this Brown kid could definitely spell McCoy a little bit. I think he's got that speed and
talent.
Yeah,
I think the saving grace this year is that on offense at least, they found Nick Foles and Bryce Brown. And if I'm the Eagles, I'm keeping Vic for one more year and giving him that option to be better under a different offensive coordinator and a different head coach. But if you don't, it looks like Nick Foles is a viable option. I'm not saying he's Michael Vick. I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer, but he's a viable option. And Bryce Brown, what a pickup. What a pickup. So Shady McCoy, we all believe that he should get the ball more, but he gets injured a little bit. He's injury prone. He gets nicked up. So Bryce Brown, nice backup to have in the hole for him. And then obviously,
well, you know,
back
for me,
Jackson.
Well, that's
yeah,
the issue. That's what I was going to ask you. I like Cooper, but to me, I don't believe that, you know, that's those three. If those are your top three receivers, I think you need another receiver. I don't like the combination of Jackson and Macklin. I think the two little receivers in this day and age in the NFL, I think you need another big guy.
Well, I think
Cooper's
they need to do
big, but no
I think
speed.
They need to do what the Patriots do and get a you know, either get Brent Celek more involved or get a big tight end or get a big receiver. You know, that big receiver can be a tight end or can be a wide out, but they just need somebody with size. We thought Jason Avant could do that for a while.
But hey, but Avant has played well, right? With Jackson out, Avant played well. You know, he put up two good games. So, anyway, you know, we keep it moving.
We gave Philly
think,
too much time already.
yeah. No, definitely. We got
so
some juicy stuff to get
team,
into.
They got too much love. They got too much love.
Well, listen, goodness. This is, I want to call it the Sirius Six, right? I mean, there's some other, you know, interesting games. But with the Sirius Six, let's start off first with them Bears and them Packers.
Yeah, so it's the 9-4 Packers against the 8-5 Bears. And did you hear all the trash talking that's going back and forth?
Yeah.
With Briggs
that's
and
what
Urlacher
happens, division rivals.
And Michael Finley and just play ball.
Listen, the question is, can the Bears offensive line keep Cutler up enough with Matthews coming back to win the game at home? That's the essence of this game right here. Because this one, I don't know if this one's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be another defensive battle, you know, maybe like 20-17. But I don't know at the end of the day, do you think Forte can do enough? Did I give him enough? You know, will the Bears' offensive line keep Cutler alive? You know, because I think the Bears, the only way that they can stop Aaron Rodgers is if that defensive line, Julius Peppers, where are you? Where you at? They've got to step up. Rob Marinelli's got to get the defensive line coming in and getting on top of these guys, man.
Yeah, well, you know, they also have a chance to take advantage of some injuries by the Packers, right? Woodson's out again. Jordy Nelson on offense is out again. And then C.J. Wilson, the defensive end, is out. But Clay Matthews is supposed to come back from his from his hamstring. So if this is ever a time where the Bears at home could do it, it would be this week, but I don't think so. I think the Packers are too tough. I think the Packers are on their playoff run. They're starting to run the football. They're starting to get that balance. They're starting
That's
to
the
get
key.
That swagger. And they have by far the best player on the field in Aaron Rodgers. And even though, you know, Brandon Marshall's doing his thing, I think ultimately if you put the ball, especially against this Packers team that still creates turnovers, I think ultimately Cutler either, like you said, is going to be sacked or, you know, sacked five or six times or is going to throw a critical interception. So the Bears are nicked up a little bit on defense as well. And I think that even at full strength, the Packers are a better team. But I think Packers go into
Give me a score.
Yeah, I like the Packers 30-23.
Ooh, pretty high scoring. Well, I think I'm going to piggyback on what you said in terms of the Packers running. I think that is definitely the key. I think the only way the Bears steal this is if they have more balance than just getting it to Marshall, and maybe Forte gets at least 20 carries and some couple screen passes. But I'm going to take, in a tight one, I'm gonna take the Packers 26-24 over the Bears. So
okay.
It should be fun in the monsters of the Midway. So now we swing to the AFC. With the 9-4, I'm almost ready to choke on myself when I say this. The 9-4 Colts, incredible, right? That record,
and the rookie again, of the year
after
so
10-2.
Far.
Yep, at the 10-2 Houston Texans, who just 11-2, just got slid-apped. They got slid-apped against the Patriots. What's your thoughts on this one, man?
So the Texans were introduced, like I said last time, to big boy football. And they weren't quite ready. However, I don't want to be the Colts this week because the Texans got embarrassed. The Texans got outclassed, outmanned, outplayed, out whatever. And they're about to put the beat down on the Colts. I think that the Texans have a lot of frustration and maybe some self-doubt creeping in there. I think they're going to have a tough week of practice with Kubiak and also Wade Phillips drilling that defense. I think the Jekyll and Hyde Texans, so I think the either Jekyll or Hyde or however you want to look at it, the good Texans are coming out, and they're going to put up some points. I think they're going to put up 30 or more. And I don't know that Andrew Luck can put up 30 against the Texans. He's been doing great keeping games close and then winning it in the fourth quarter or in overtime. But I think it's too much Arian Foster. I think it's too much Andre Johnson. I think Matt Schaub is going to have one of his better games. And the Indianapolis Colts just don't have the firepower to score when they have to, right? I think they're going to be down big most of the game. So I like the Texans in a blowout.
30 to what?
I'll go 31-20. Texans.
Well, I'm going to say this. Texans definitely need to show up because it didn't happen Monday night, and I got to give a shout-out to Nick Hancock because Owen Daniels only getting 24 yards last week. I lost my playoffs, so that kind of hurt. And I think he'll have a better game this week. I think for me, I think the Colts are going to surprise people, and I think this is going to be a slugfest. And I think it won't be super high-scoring. It'll be in the middle. I just think the Texans are – Foster will be the difference. What I like, though, about the Colts is I think they saw what the Patriots did, and I think their receivers are good enough that they could spread them out. You know, I think that their offensive line, though, is not as good as the Patriots in terms of, you know, protecting Luck. And I've seen Luck take some bad hits this year. So I think the Texans' defense steps up, but watch, you know, Wayne – Avery and T.Y. Hilton and maybe even a little Fleener and Allen to have some, you know, big games. And I like the Texans 27-24 over the Colts.
You got two close games with basically the same score in both of those. So fairly high scoring games.
A little bit different, yeah. But I think the Colts are gonna play some ball, baby. Andrew Luck ain't no sucker. They're gonna spread them Texans out, but the Texans will do it. They'll pull it out.
All right, well, let's keep it in the AFC, and we've got Peyton Manning and the 10-3 Broncos going against Joe Flacco, Ray Rice, and potentially Ray Lewis.
Sugar Ray Lewis.
9-4 Ravens. So what are you thinking about that?
Right off the bat, I'm like, wow, this is major. this is a, like a divisional game that we could see, you know, going ahead a couple weeks fast forward. Right now, I think the Ravens are reeling, but I think they're at home. I think they play better at home. I think Cam Cameron is gone, and I think Caldwell has never called offensive plays, but I think he knows what he needs to do in the sense of, I've got to get Ray the ball. I think the Ravens really do step up. And the Broncos, everything's just been going so smooth and easy for them. Well, for some reason, I hate to even say this, but I got a funny feeling that the Ravens will find a way to win this game. I just think that it's just been so easy for the Broncos. Obviously, we know how Moreno's been going, Manning with his guys, everybody's hot, this and that. But I think the Ravens' defense have that one little whatever, and the motion of Ray Lewis coming back and helping them, I think it's going to be just enough. I think they wind up pulling out this game 21-20 over the Broncos.
Wow. So I like that.
Manning to two touchdown passes.
Well, I need Manning in my fantasy, so go Peyton. I need 300 yards. I need three touchdowns. You know, I need to beat Pimp. I need to beat Jay.
He'll get the two touchdowns and maybe the 300 yards. Listen, the Ravens' defense will bend, but they're not going to break. They'll definitely bend. He could pass on them.
Well, the funny thing is he has Demaryius Thomas, so it's a little bit of a hedge, right, for me, because obviously if Demaryius Thomas gets yards and certainly scores a touchdown, Peyton will be on the throwing end of that. But I need Peyton to throw it to, you know, Tammy and Dreesen and Eric Decker and anybody but and anybody but Thomas. That's what fantasy is bad. You root for all kinds of stuff. You end up rooting for the clock, and you end up rooting for all kinds of weird things.
But that's what makes it so beautiful and fun, right? Because it's so imperfect. You know, like, you're just like, wait a minute, I'm a Cowboy fan, but, you know, I drafted Mike Wallace. It's like,
yeah,
you know,
I need this game to go into overtime because I need more stats. I still want my team to win, but if you could just give me overtime, I might be able to get a couple more catches because I need
this. Listen, that's what's so fun about it, and, you know, it's sad that it's about to end in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, fantasy playoffs probably end next week for most people in week 16.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, this week and then next week. So
yeah.
What's your score,
but,
man?
I like the Ravens. I also like the Ravens in a close game. I think the Broncos get held to 20, and I think the Ravens score 23, and they win, you know, a close game, 23-20. And like you said, it's the Ravens' time to show that they're the best team in the NFC North. Now, I know you as a Steeler fan, I want to hear that. And the Ravens haven't been playing great. And, again, they're as soft.
Oh, mark my words, I'm not saying they're the best team in the AFC North. They're definitely not that.
Well, but they're
we proved that when we went to the house and smacked them up.
So I like the Ravens, bottom line, in a close game.
Yeah,
so let's move on. We've got another one back to the NFC. We've got the 8-5 Giants playing at the 11-2 Atlanta Falcons. Now, if you recall, this game was played last year in the playoffs, and I think the Giants won 24-2. Remember the safety early on?
I was
going
to say, was it a game? It wasn't really a game. 24-2. It was a hot mess for the Falcons.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
But now they're in the dome, playboy, so, you know.
No, they were in the dome last year, too. Didn't the Giants win that game on the road, didn't they?
No, it was in Giant Stadium.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one was at Giant Stadium. Because the Saints won the division. Well, for me, I got to tell you, I think not having Bradshaw is not a good look. I don't know if David Wilson could, you know, really tote it and carry the load. But the good thing is, Knicks, Bennett and Cruz and Manning have got it going. And I think Roddy White has been banged up and not been practicing. I think the Giants just, they've got the right makeup, the right roster. And I'm not liking the way the Falcons have been playing lately. I think they're a little bit off. They don't know if they want to do Jacquez. They don't know if they want to do Turner. I think the offensive line is having some issues, to be honest with you. And I think the Giants do enough to, you know, to win like a pretty, you know, not, you know, I guess kind of high-scoring game. I think the Giants win 27-26. Lawrence Tynes. I'm down with Tynes, man. He's been missing lately, but I'll tell you this, Tynes, for 43. It's good. The Giants win. They were down 26-24.
The
they win. 2 seconds left on the clock. 27-26.
So the Giants have no depth at running back, right? So if David Wilson fumbles, there's no place to put him. And if he gets hurt, there's no real backup for him, too, with Bradshaw and Brown out.
I guess they have Ware, right? Don't they still have
Yeah,
Ware?
Yeah. It's all about that pass rush. It's all about if JPP and OC and Canby and
NASCAR package.
And all of those guys can get pressure on Matt Ryan. But I'm going to say that the Falcons have pride, and the Falcons got punched in the mouth by the Giants in that playoff game. And the Falcons are at home, and they have weapons. And they have those
mm-hmm.
two weapons on the outside that if you can give Matt Ryan some time.
Julio,
they're a problem. They are a problem, those two wide receivers. So Roddy White and Julio Jones are pretty special. And then, by the way, if you focus on them too much, we'll kill you up the middle with Tony Gonzalez. Oh, and by the way, if you focus too much on them, we still got Jacquizz with the change of pace, and obviously Michael, the formerly the burner Turner, he's not burning anybody these days, but he's still matriculating the ball up the field. So I like the Falcons. I like the Falcons with some pride. I like the Giants. Remember, the Giants are always up and down, and maybe they get up for this team because they're 11-2, but I think the Falcons get up higher because of the beatdown that they took last year to the Giants in the playoffs. So I like the Falcons winning this game. 28-24.
I can definitely see that one, too. And I pick the Giants, but I wouldn't be surprised. Before we get to the dream matchup between our two teams, I must say there's still some other real good games. So real quick, RG3 would probably be a game-time decision at Cleveland. That's going to be a good one, right? Vikings at the Rams. That's a good game. Buccaneers and Saints, they're both probably not going to make the playoffs, but that's a good battle.
Look for them next year.
NFC South. Seahawks at Bills, that's a playoff game for the Seahawks, so that's important. When up in Toronto, that's going to be good. And then the sort of I didn't do what I should have done this year bowl, the Panthers at the Chargers should be interesting for nothing else. Two good quarterbacks that didn't play the way they should have. Both have been hot lately. Cam, much hotter than Phillip.
Here's an idea. Shake it up. Why don't you trade Phillip Rivers for Cam Newton? Just change of pace. Move him all the way across the country. Just shake it up a little bit. Put Phillip Rivers in Carolina. He'd be upset because he doesn't have a lot of receivers over there. But put Phillip Rivers in Carolina and put Cam in
both
San Diego.
Both rosters are flawed, so they both need help.
Both rosters also need to be shaken up a little bit. They need to just
now. What's a sad, messy game is the Chiefs at the Raiders. Oh God. This is five wins between them. I don't even know. They're battling for the number one pick basically in that game. But let's get to royalty.
Yes.
Let's get to football royalty, and we both are so desperate with the same record: 7-6 Pittsburgh Steelers. My Pittsburge Steelers against the 7-6 Ray Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys.
11 Super Bowls between us.
Wow. This is royalty right here. This is the match that we grew up with.
And the loser is definitely in serious, serious playoff trouble, probably out. So,
well, definitely more so for you guys. At least we play the Bengals.
Yeah, you control to some degree.
Right, and then we play the Browns, and both games are at Pittsburgh. So the Steelers have a little leeway here.
Yeah,
and
the Cowboys and the NFC probably need to finish 9-7, and then the Cowboys play home to New Orleans and then at Washington at the end.
This is a game where you need to win this one. New Orleans, let me tell you, they're not going to go out like suckers. And then you play RG3 and the Skins. Whew. So anyway.
Yeah.
Dez Bryant will be a go. The finger, we'll see. We'll see how he can play with it. You got Dwyer. Big Ben is back and sort of a week in. Troy will be back for his third week.
Ike Taylor's missing another game.
Yeah, Ike's missing another game, but Ratliff
Keenan
is done.
Lewis and Cortez Allen.
Ratliff is done until maybe the playoffs, so that's a big loss for you not having Ratliff again. I got to say, man, I think the you know, burial memorial was Tuesday. I think just sort of like the Chiefs went through their emotion. They played high the game right after, but then the game after when with the burial, they collapsed. I think you guys are going to lose at home, and I think we're going to come in there and just take care of you guys. I think, you know, Romo will give a gallant effort. I think we'll hold DeMarco Murray to 40, 50 yards. But I think at the end of the day, I think emotionally they're going to be spent. I think it's just hard. I don't care what anybody says. When you go through that yo-yo of emotions to get up for a game and you know, even though you're at home, that could help. But I don't think being at home is necessarily a great thing for the Cowboys. I think the Steelers get this one. I think it will be pretty high scoring. I think the Steelers win 30-27. And you know,
wow,
the Steelers. Okay. My Pittsburgh Steelers are going
to
handle
it. I want them Cowboys. I like the Cowboys. I think the key to this game is going to be the Dallas offensive line, and specifically if they can get DeMarco Murray off a little bit and take some of that pressure and some of that pass rush off of Tony Romo. Because if he has time and he's got Dez Bryant even at 80% and then Witten and Ogletree and Miles Austin, then I think Dallas can move the ball down.
What'd
the
you
field.
Say, if you have time?
That is correct.
Okay.
If he has time. So, and even if he doesn't, Romo, like Roethlisberger, in a totally different way, but they can both improvise. They both avoid the rush in totally different ways, and their games are totally different. But they both have escapability. Romo, because he's a little more slippery, and then Roethlisberger, just because he's a big boy, and he just shakes people off. But I think that DeMarco Murray doesn't run for 40 or 50. I think he runs for 80 or 90. And I think that Dez Bryant does just enough with that finger, and the killer is going to be Jason Witten. He keeps getting those 8-10-yard passes, first downs, moves the ball.
We got our Heath Miller, and we got our Jonathan Dwyer, so you watch out
for
them.
Yeah, yeah, but I like the Cowboys. I like the Cowboys in actually a fairly low-scoring game. I think the Cowboys win 23-17.
Ouch.
Yeah, I think the Steelers offense is going to come to is not going to deliver on Sunday.
Ouch. I don't believe you. You need more people. Well, look, now we'll go to the last game Sunday night of the Sirius 6. This is heavy. We saw the Pats just smack up the Texans at home. They're at home again. The schedule gods love the Patriots this year. Let me just say that. All their rough games have been at home. So
true. But hey, this might be a Super Bowl preview. I didn't have either of the two teams in the Super Bowl, but it's not outrageous.
I have the Niners in the Super Bowl against the Texans, but, you know, it could very easily be you know what the difference is, right? So people are saying, oh, they just beat a good defensive team. They're comparing the Texans to the Niners. I think the Niners have much more talent on their defense than the Texans. I think the Texans is more scheme. I think the Niners, when you look at Willis, Aldon Smith, Justin Smith, Golson, Whitmore, I mean, they've got, like, monsters at every level. Linebackers, sure. Defensive tackles, and in the secondary. I've been thinking about this all week, going back and forth. I'm like, oh, Brady will spread them. But I'm like, but the athletes can stick with Hernandez, you know, Willis and Bowman. I almost forgot about Navarro Bowman. He could, you know, he can stick Hernandez. They've got the athletes.
Got his money
got the
now.
Speed.
Dante Whitner. What are you thinking?
I'm going to say, I mean, to me, I think that Frank Gore, Vernon Davis comes alive, and I think what we see is the coming of age. I think Kaepernick on the road does enough, doesn't make the turnovers, and their defense keeps them going. They go back and forth. It's hard to hold down a Brady team, but I think the Niners might even get a defensive touchdown or a special teams touchdown. I think they just have enough to pull it out, 27-24, the Niners.
Wow.
And watch Kaepernick on the run, running for close to 100, and passing for over 200, and the Niners win in New England 27-24.
Wow.
Shout out to my boy Warren, the Niners fan.
I think New England scores 30 on anybody. So the question to me is, can the Niners score 30? And even with Kaepernick in there, who gives them a little bit more explosiveness, I don't think they're ready. I don't think they can score 30. So I think the Patriots win 30-23. I like the Patriots.
What do you got, 30-23?
30-23. Remember, this Patriots team is almost on record or on pace to be the highest scoring team in NFL history.
Oh, yeah.
So this team is unbelievable. And I just don't know that the Niners can, A, stop them, and, B, if they have to, get into a shootout with them. And so being at home in Foxborough, I like the Patriots, 30-23.
Okay. That's what I'm telling you. Watch out that defense, boy, playboy.
Okay.
That defense right there, a little bit tougher. A little bit tougher than the Texans defense, playboy. So let's take a quick break and get back to our Top 5 Friday segment. And we will break down the potential future Hall of Famers in the NFL.
We're back. We're back. So just to let everybody know, on Friday, we like to have our regular segments. So on Friday, we have a segment called Top 5 Fridays, where we list top five. We did top five announcers, top five college quarterbacks, top five pro players in different sports. But we also have a segment on Fridays that we're going to be introducing later this year called Hall of Fame Friday, where we talk about, is this player Hall of Fame worthy? So, for example, we're going to talk about, at some point in this year, Bernard King getting into the Hall of Fame in basketball. Now, won't let the cat out of the bag with other players, but with Bernard King, Ray and Tay, both are firm believers that he should be in the Hall of Fame. But this week, we do a combo. We say, okay, it's Top 5 Friday, so each of us are going to go through five, a little bit more, players that we think are borderline Hall of Famers, right? So, obviously, Brady, Manning, Randy Moss, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, if their careers ended today,
they're already Hall of Famers. And Terrell Owens. Yeah,
right, and Terrell Owens is not really in the league. But and then there's other guys that project to be Hall of Famers, you know, may or may not even need any more time. So that's guys like Champ Bailey and Drew Brees, potentially Aaron Rodgers. So you've got people that are...
Well, Aaron needs more time, but, you know.
Aaron
people,
needs more time.
You know,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but well, he's got an MVP already, so he's well...
He's on his way. Him and
so
Eli are on their way.
People that are on the borderline that really you could debate. So we're just going to do it as a free-flow segment here where we're just going to throw out some names, do a quick debate on them, and then think, are they Hall of Fame in or Hall of Fame out?
Well, you know, I got one interesting guy for you right off the bat, right? We also know in that list Tony Gonzalez is a no-brain Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no-brain.
But I got a guy that I was thinking, I'm like, is Antonio Gates a Hall of Famer?
Wow.
Now, we know for a couple of years he was one of the best, you know, pass-catching tight ends. You know, he went to a couple of Pro Bowls. He, you know, I mean, was a monster in 2000, you know, really since 2004. But my question to you is this. The injuries, he's kind of, you know, slowed down a little bit and has, you know, not really dominated the last couple of seasons because he couldn't, you know, he couldn't stay healthy. But, you know, I mean, he went to 7 straight Pro Bowls.
Wow.
So to me, it's like, I'm like, you know, he was great, but is he a Hall of Famer?
Wow. So I didn't realize 7 straight Pro Bowlers.
I didn't realize
it. Because I was thinking to myself, wow, is he like the, I don't know, it's a bad analogy, but is he like the Don Mattingly, where he had a great career, but it was short-lived, and he didn't have enough dominant seasons. But at his position, he was probably the best at his position for 3 years, 3 or 4 years. Of those 7 that he went to the Pro Bowl. I don't know that he's in right now. He's got 634 catches, but he's got 80 touchdowns.
This is not a great year for Gates. It's a very average year. I think he needs to put two more, at least 60 to 80 reception, you know, seasons and four, you know, six touchdowns.
Okay.
It's hard. The tight ends are putting up crazy numbers.
That's a good way to start us off.
That's a good way to start it off. So let's keep it moving.
Let me keep it on offense. Let me throw another receiver at you. Wes Welker. What do you think about Wesley? His stats are through the roof.
Right. The debate is
he a dominant player at his position?
Yeah, is it inflated because of the offense and the age we're in and Brady? But you know what? I'm going to give this guy the credit because he went from being a kick and punt returner from Miami to being the unsung hero at the Patriots, and he's tough. He's the one getting these hits across the middle. He's the one that gets the yak, the yards after catch. He's the one that dives and makes the touchdowns. And, yes, he dropped that one in the Super Bowl that was not a perfect pass from Brady, but guess what? He still makes these incredible catches every season, every game. He's solid. To me, Wes Welker, if he plays another two more years and then puts up like what he's doing this year, Wes Welker will be in the Hall of Fame.
Wow. Okay. Well, the knock against Wes Welker to me is that he doesn't really dominate his position. He gets a lot of yards and he gets a lot of first downs. He only has 36 career touchdowns. So that's not a lot considering, you know, Jerry Rice is 190 and Terrell Owens is 155 and even guys like Marvin Harrison, who's probably the most comparable, has 120 touchdowns. So he doesn't put the ball in the end zone. Now, it's not like his team doesn't score, though, right? Gronkowski and Hernandez and Ridley and
other
guys put the ball in the end zone.
Those are choices, though. Brady could throw to whoever. I think Welker, he's the one that brings him all the way down the field, right?
Yeah, true. And he's going to have – this is going to be his fifth season of 100 catches.
Yeah.
So he's square on the border. I think you're right. If he puts up a couple more seasons like this, and especially if he's involved with, you know, two of the three league's most high-powered offenses.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the 07 and the 2012 New England Patriots.
That's, yeah.
He's an integral part of it, of those teams. And granted, the 07 team had that 50, you know, that 50 touchdown Tom Brady year where 23 of them went to Randy Moss. And this year, he's obviously got Gronk and Hernandez when they're healthy. But yeah, Wes Welker, you know, you got to give credit for first downs. You got to give credit for moving the ball. And even if it is 20-20, he's moving the ball down the field, matriculating the ball down the field, like I'd like to say. So yeah, he's definitely a borderline case, but if he doesn't get hurt, it looks favorable for Wes.
I got an interesting guy for you, Maurice Jones-Drew. I think AP is headed there. What do you think about Maurice?
Right now, I gotta say no because coming back, let's say he's healthy, right? He lost this season, obviously. Next season, the issue is he comes back to this Jacksonville team, and I'm not sure they do anything. So he, for the next few years, doesn't project to really have any playoff success. So if you do well in the regular season and you have playoff success, that goes in your favor. So I look at him as a very good running back, but I believe he's a
led the league in rushing last year.
Led the league in rushing last year, but he's still a tier below Adrian Peterson, even Arian Foster. I want Arian Foster on my team before Maurice Jones-Drew.
Maurice does get a lot of touchdowns, though.
He does, and he's had 15, 18 touchdown seasons. So unlike, you know, that knock against Wes Welker, Maurice Jones-Drew puts the ball in the end zone. I think those carries are going to start to add up, and I think he's probably on the downside of his career. So, I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't project to be a Hall of Famer if he can put three more good seasons together, but he needs those three more good seasons. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's had a decent amount of, you know, he's had his Pro Bowls. He's had his 1,000-yard rushing seasons. I think he needs another 3 to 4 seasons where he gets like 1,500 yards.
Wow, those are big seasons, especially if you think that, like I do, that he might be on the backside of his career.
Yeah, I really think he still needs, you know, I'm not saying 4 or 5, but if he can get 3 years where he's top 5, 6 running backs, then maybe, but it's going to be hard. I think, unfortunately for him, the team he played for, that's going to hold him back, you know.
Yeah, not a lot of playoff success. All right, well, let me
He's a good guy, man. You never know.
Yeah, he is a really good guy, and I wish him to be in the Hall of Fame. But let me flip it on you. Let me go defense on Jared Allen. Not to be confused with Harry Allen, because that's a whole other story. Because he's in the Hall of Fame.
He
but Jared Allen, 114 career sacks.
Yeah. You know, this is interesting because he's sort of taken
Kansas
off
City
the last
Minnesota.
The last 3 or 4 years. I think he went under the radar when he was first in the league in KC, and he was just putting up solid numbers and a very, you know, low key. I actually think he might make it. He might make it. I don't think he's going to ever get the opportunity to get in the Super Bowl, but I think he's sort of a specialist. But he's had a pretty solid career, and his numbers are actually starting to look pretty impressive. And he plays hurt, and
he's
a warrior.
7 years of double-digit sacks. He had 22 sacks in 2011.
Yeah.
And he's in on every down. I mean, the guy, you know, he plays first, second, and third downs.
Yeah,
so
no, I think, and he, you know, what it is, like I said, he's a warrior, and he's respected. I mean, the NFL, everybody knew about him when he was in KC. He was doing big things, and I think he's definitely got that respect. So I'd have to say yes on Jared Allen. I'd have to give him the thumbs up. Now,
okay, wait, hold on a sec. We got a caller.
Okay.
Let's pull in this caller. See what the caller says. Maybe some Hall of Fame talk. Hello, caller? You're on the air, caller? Hello? Maybe we got some technical problems. Maybe caller was just trying to listen live on the show.
Yeah.
So what else?
Well,
what else?
Okay, well, so before I was going to talk about somebody else, but I just want to say I think, obviously, we said Rodgers, 3 guys that we didn't mention that I think are definite. Rodgers, Rondé Barber, one of the best corners from Tampa. We said Champ Bailey. And I think Andre Johnson. So I think the conversation goes to Andre Johnson and Fitzgerald and maybe Megatron, right?
Yeah.
The question is with these guys, Johnson's already, I think, put up a lot of the numbers. I think he's slowing down. But I think he's had, you know, like 5 dominant years. And then he's like doing okay. The question is, Fitzgerald not having that quarterback. We know Fitzgerald's had some great seasons, but now last year was a little bit off, and then where he's at this year is just like nothing. Do you think that Fitzgerald, Johnson, and Megatron will all make it? I think Megatron to me is a lock, and Andre is a lock. My question is Fitzgerald. His talent
more than Larry
says yes.
Fitzgerald, wow, okay.
But do you think he'll wind up being able to make the Hall of Fame?
So Fitzgerald has 77 touchdowns. He's got 750 catches and 10,000 receiving yards. He's been to 1 Super Bowl. He lost it, very close to winning it. So I think Fitzgerald, because he's well-liked and because he's a physical specimen, he'll be favorably voted for, and he'll put up 3 or 4 decent enough seasons where his numbers are just going to be through the roof. So, yes, I think Fitzgerald, even in a passing league, I think Fitzgerald's going to make it. The one I'm not so sure about is Andre Johnson, because if
Andre
he doesn't put up 3 or 4 more good seasons. Look, I think Megatron is the best one of them.
It's a lock, yeah.
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 And all he needs to do
I think Rodgers, we both would agree, Rodgers, Eli Manning. are going to make it. Eli has some, you know, not great regular seasons, but Super Bowls alone will
Super
put him
Bowls
in.
Super Bowls and two MVPs, that's fantastic.
Big Ben, I think Big Ben's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, we've got some Hall of Famers out there. Terrell Suggs, maybe. Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, probably on the borderline.
Yeah.
But, yeah, listen, we had a great show today. I love
definitely.
Hall of Fame talk.
Now, we'll be back on Monday. We got to find out if Ray is going to join us because Ray might be traveling the world, globetrotting
on
a little
Monday.
Vacation.
It's next Monday. I'm here
okay,
Monday. Monday's a regular show.
Oh, good.
Show.
You're here this Monday. So it's next
yep.
week. All right. Well, have a good weekend. God bless everybody, and God bless Connecticut, and just our prayers with the family. And, hey,
stay safe and enjoy your friends and family.
Yeah, man. Hold your kids tight. Have a good night.